Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to, or welcome back to Spark Radio. On this very hot day, our fire still crackles. So I hope you enjoy the crackling fire, because where you are, it might not be quite so warm. Those of you who are listening in the Southern Hemisphere, and I'm so glad that you are, well, crackling fire probably sounds awesome and warm. It always makes me think about a campfire. I love camping, love nature, so I enjoy the sound of that fire. Welcome to Spark. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is indeed my pleasure that you have chosen to invest your time here. My pleasure to share with you some sparks that may be the solution to making that positive change in your life. Last week, we focused on breathing as a brain booster and some strategies around using your breath, getting enough breathing into your day. So tonight we're going to take brain boosting to a different place. We're going to explore 16 P's to power up your presentations. Whether you are a speaker, a trainer, a leader, if you have to be in front of people, share information, get them to change their mind, make decisions. These strategies can be very helpful for you. Let's start, though, with taking that deep breath, because this is a special time for Spark. It's Friday evening live, and normally we're on Wednesdays, so thanks for finding us on Friday if you're listening live. As I mentioned during the crackling fire, we have a heat index of 110 today. Whew, that's Fahrenheit. And so it is very toasty warm, and that can impact our ability to drink and process information, absolutely. So I hope that you've had a great week and you're ready for some strategy around powering up your presentation. The handout will be available at brainbonanza.com. There's a sheet with the 16 P's. Will be available. And I created this a number of years ago. I think the actual copyright's 2006, and I began creating it before that as I was working to create effective presentations myself in my work with clients. And so noticed some patterns, and I love alliteration. Think makes it easier to remember, since they all start with P's in some way, shape, or form. Take another wonderful deep breath. We don't take enough deep breaths in our lives, so our brain really appreciates the opportunity to get more oxygen. So if you haven't taken a lot of deep breaths today, treat yourself to a few more. If you haven't had enough water, my water bottle's in my lunch bag still. How many ounces of water are you having a day? Enough? Odds are probably not, but that's another show. Maybe you can't get a pee in there around hydration. Hey, if you can think of one, shoot me an email. Let me know. And you can reach me at Brain Bonanza, BrainBonanza, @gmail.com. So, let's get started with our P's. 16 keys to power up your presentations. And by the way, this will be available in the freebies area. I also, in addition to sharing the handout, I train trainers, and I use this in half day, full day. I think the longest series I've done is 12 hours. I did four 3-hour sessions at a company for subject matter experts who needed to do training, and they wanted to get better at it. So if you'd like more information, do please contact me. All right, here we go. First P on the list is pre and post assessment. It's really important to find out the needs, the wants, the learning styles of the people who are in your audience, the expectations of the management team, if there were managers who sent them, the needs, the wants, the culture of the organization. That's the pre-assessment. And then the post-assessment is a way to measure learning when they were in the room. And then also 30, 60, 90 days after the training to assess the transfer, the application of what they learned. I'm excited to co-facilitate a session with my colleague Gail Moat for our Hawkeye ASTD meeting next Friday on training for transfer and ROI. Because there are so many powerful strategies that will help the learning transfer and actually be used on the job. And there are many pressures that keep people in the status quo without moving. So, spend some time in the pre-assessment phase, and you can do that with email, quick surveys. There are free survey tools like SurveyMonkey, one-on-one meetings with the managers involved, etc. Second P is purpose. What is the purpose of the presentation? That can include things like objectives, the thinking, beliefs, or behaviors you and others want changed as a result of them experiencing this particular presentation, whether that's a meeting, a seminar. What's the purpose? Maybe the purpose is it's just information sharing. Although often even in information sharing, you hope to persuade a particular point of view. So maybe that's the purpose. Maybe you want others to change their thinking. So again, purpose can include objectives, thinking, beliefs, behaviors that you or others want changed as a result of this presentation. The third P on the list, preparation. And notice we didn't start with preparation. We started with pre-assessment, with purpose. And purpose includes the business outcomes. Because often when we think of training in particular, it gets labeled as an event rather than a process. And to be most effective, it truly is a process. It's more than just what happened in the room or on the webinar or on the conference call. So preparation. Preparation includes handling the logistics. Where is it going to be? When is it going to be? The materials. What will that include? Might be handouts, flip charts, PowerPoint, MP3s. The presentation flow. What will you include in this cycle of learning that allows both time for connecting with previous knowledge, discovery of information, sharing information, reflecting on that information, and planning to apply that information? And all of those can be very strategically interwoven to create an effective presentation. So, again, preparation includes logistics, materials, the presentation flow. Also includes some props. If you're going to demonstrate something or use a metaphor, what props might you need? For example, I have a caterpillar that I purchased at the nature company many years ago, and it has a Velcro attachment underneath, and it opens up and turns inside out into a butterfly. And I use that as a metaphor for change and having to take a risk for change. So that's on my props list. Kind of hard to use it when I don't have it with me. I have a model of the brain that I most of the time take along because I reference brain structures, brain functions, because we're all very curious as human beings. And if we understand what's happening inside our brains, we can make better choices to use it more effectively or to give it the nutrition, et cetera. What kind of props do you need? Do you do magic tricks? I have a magic coloring book. That's on my props list. Materials could also be for activities. I have an activity that needs ping pong balls, plastic spoons, the lunch brown paper bags, string, push pins. So I have to make sure I have all those props prepared. There's a lot involved with the preparation. So we have pre-assessment, purpose, preparation. Next is personal. Presentation needs to be personal from the perspective of your participants. And you may know that everyone's favorite radio station is WIIFM, which is what's in it for me, because that's the perspective from which we take in information, the perspective from which we make choices about how is this impacting me, how will this help me feel better. Will this cause a problem for me? How is it affecting my life, my feelings, my involvement? That's our first perspective, not always our only perspective, but our first one. And then next to that, WIIFM, is WIIFO, what's in it for the organization, what's in it for others. So helping your participants to identify the personal connection with the experience of this presentation, that's why are they there? Now, even if they say that I have to be there, what's in it for them to be there? And it's very critical to include this in your presentation, because if people are there with an unclear understanding about what's in it for them, they'll have lower engagement, lower retention, and perhaps could even be a negative influence. Taking the time to go over as you share your objectives or your goals for the presentation and allowing people to make a commitment, write down what's in it for me. And if it's a tough situation, it's a mandatory meeting, everybody has to be there, it's about something that's challenging, very important to offer them some options for what's in it for me. Help them find a hook. Also important to remember, I think it was Bob Pike who said, people do not argue with their own data. Help people make connections with their own experience as they go through the presentation with you. Make it personal for them. Let's give them opportunities, whether in sessions, activities, reflections, to connect the content with their experience. Another filter I really like that helps to make it personal, and I share this at the beginning of my session, is the question, the filter, how can I use this? So as you're learning new content, it's coming through that filter of how can I use this? How can this help me? What will be better for me? next. Number five, for those of you who are keeping track, is practical. Adults want to learn information that has a direct connection to their performance at work, to something that they can use personally, professionally. They can walk out with a practical use. And I often ask this at the beginning of my seminars. How many of you would appreciate learning information that you can use both at work professionally and your personal life? Nearly every hand goes up. That's part of what makes something more practical. How do you do that? You can explain or allow discovery of how this knowledge or skill or strategy will make the participant's job or life better. Give immediate application whenever possible. The sooner it can make a difference, the more engaged people are. Keep in mind that you want to make it practical whenever possible. And again, there's so many strategies and activities around how to do this. Tip of the iceberg, think, tip of the iceberg. Put your finger in the middle of your forehead. Those of you who do meditation, third eye. And realize that what we're covering is from the tip of your finger to the top of your head. The amount of content and strategies, et cetera, is from the tip of your finger down to your toes. So take a deep breath. We'll talk about another aspect, another P that can make your presentation more powerful and more effective. We're at number six. Number six is called peripherals. P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L-S. Peripherals are things that are at the fringes, at the edges, like your peripheral vision, different from the focus and the center of your vision on the edges, often beneath our conscious awareness. It could be visual, peripheral of your visual sense, peripheral for your auditory sense. Often people use music in their presentations, the low volume music, because it supports memory. It gauges the other parts of the brain. They often don't point it out or bring it to a conscious awareness. There's research that focuses on how much information we actually absorb, is, I guess, a good word, from peripherals, from things that have that come into our subconscious or non-conscious awareness rather than our focused attention conscious awareness. And the numbers can be in high 90s, 98, 99% of what we know can come in through peripherals. So it's important to have things like posters on the walls. I have a series of cartoons that were created, purchased through Education Illustrated, to illustrate principles around training when I'm training trainers. And the cartoons are wonderful because they engage both hemispheres of the brain. They've got color, they've got pictures, they've got words, they use humor. And I don't always talk about all of them during a session. They're all on the wall. And I move around the room, which allows people to have different images in their visual field. The peripherals are very powerful. So posters on the wall, flip charts, your PowerPoint could function as a peripheral if it's not the focus of your conversation. Maybe it's just an image that's behind you. You can have music, as I said, as a peripheral. Props could be peripherals. Things that are entering people's non-conscious awareness, they're in the room, not not necessarily the focus of their attention. So in your preparation, what kind of peripherals are you planning to include? Next, pleasant tone. Did you know that brains learn best when they are safe? Brains learn best when people are relaxed, when you're in a positive emotional or mental state. And a pleasant tone can impact how safe you feel, how relaxed. Are you experiencing positive emotion? The chemistry in your brain is the same when you're having a ha-ha-ha moment as when you're having an aha moment. You can use humor strategically to have something that elicits laughter, whether it's an activity, an experience, a story, right before new content, new discovery. Because you've primed the brain from a chemical perspective to be able to learn new information more effectively. For some reason, I apologize to those of you who may be trying to join me via chat, I'm having some issues with logging in tonight. Let's try a different browser. Great. So we have pre-assessment, purpose, preparation, personal, practical, peripheral, pleasant tone. Oh, need to add one more thing about pleasant tone before we move on. Warning, sarcasm can be risky because some people are less skilled at discerning sarcasm. Sarcasm, and people don't ask, well, are you being sarcastic or is that really a true statement? So use positive humor. Often when you direct it at yourself or about yourself, that's always safe. Think about balancing comfort and challenge, which is also keeping a pleasant tone, and having a pleasant vocal tone as well. Next, one of my favorite topics, positive language. The words that we choose to use are very, very powerful. And when we use positive language, that means using language that can create visual images of doing a new behavior. Imagine that you're having a customer approach you. So you're actually experiencing in your mind the image of doing whatever you're about to expect them to do. Those of you who listen regularly know my story about the power of the pink elephant. Those of you for whom this may be your first experience with me, real quickly, the power of the pink elephant is this. Under no circumstances, even for a split second, should you see in your imagination a pink elephant. Do not see big, pink, floppy ears. And do not see that big, pink trunk. Do not see four big, pink legs. How successful were you at not seeing pink elephant? And if you're like most people, he was pink before he turned purple, or he was an elephant before he turned into a rhinoceros. Our brain has difficulty with negations or not. It's as if they don't exist. The brain skips it. So do not think of pink elephants because do think of pink elephants. Whenever we tell people what not to do, we should fully expect them to do just that. Why? Because our brains put that image in there. So if we do not want people to take fraudulent checks at a financial institution, more powerful positive language is, before you accept the check, be sure to review these five criteria to verify the authenticity. It takes a little bit longer, or just say, before you accept the check, be sure it's authentic, 1 through 5. They can put it on their fingers. Oh, that's the memory session. The positive language. Make conscious word choices also to be inclusive and to be sensitive. The humor is cultural sometimes. Be aware of your languaging. I had an experience in a seminar, was at a national conference. I think you believe it was the Learning Brain Expo. And I was facilitating a session on engagement. And I asked the audience to please stand up. Well, one of the women in the audience, unfortunately, had an injury that made standing and sitting challenging. And I'm very grateful to her because she spoke up and she said, this is physically difficult for me. Is it okay if I sit? And I said, oh, absolutely. And she added, maybe then in changing your direction so that you include that, which I now do. So it's please stand up if you're physically able. Something like that. Or you can participate by choice, realizing that participation increases your knowledge, your body memory often. So positive language, funny, that leads right into the next P, which is participation. Participation. How will you involve your learners? How will you involve your listeners? Even if you're just at an informational meeting, you can engage your listeners. How will you involve them? Asking them to visualize, use their imagination. Communicate how you want them to participate. Be very specific. How do you give direction? Love Dr. Rich Allen's 4 steps for giving effective direction, which is included in this presentation. We often overload people with direction. It's important to stair-step from listening, if they've been listening to you talk, and then you say, okay, what questions do you have? Or most people will say, do you have any questions? People go, I don't know, I don't think so. And they need some think time. So stair-stepping from sitting and listening and processing information to either asking questions or sharing with the group could be take 30 seconds to review the last section of information. Go. And 30 seconds is over. Next, turn to one or two people next to you and share one idea that you found intriguing or interesting and one question that may have been created by this information. Take 2 minutes. Go. At the end of the time frame, then you can ask, bring it to the group. Who would like to share any interesting concepts or questions that came up in your discussion? Now you've stair-stepped, and we'll get more participation and more questions. And unfortunately, I'm still having issues logging in to Log Talk, and it may be we just did an update here. We'll try another browser. So next on the list is processing. This is another, well, they're all very important P's. That's how they made the list. However, processing is so neglected. It's important to know that the brain will take time to process, whether you as a speaker, trainer, facilitator, presenter, give it time to process or not. So if you keep on talking, the brain needs to make the connections, and it will go inside, make connections, and completely miss whatever you talk about, whatever concepts, key ideas you present, while it's processing information. There is a structure in our brain called the hippocampus. The hippocampus acts like a surge protector. And Eric Jensen, who I worked with in becoming a certified brain-based trainer, says too much, too fast won't last. Too much, too fast won't last. Why? Because the hippocampus, that surge protector, can only hold so much new information before it needs to move from short-term memory into long-term memory. If it doesn't have time to do that process, anything new coming in gets dumped. Or it dumps what's sitting in the hippocampus before it gets to go to long-term memory. In either case, too much, too fast, only a part of it's going to be retained. How can we improve the amount of information that people remember that moves from short to long-term memory? Add processing time. Time to make connections with new learning, connect new learning to old learning. You can do this individually, in a pair, as a group. You can process by writing, talking, creating, presenting or sharing information. The timing of process is important too. The frequency and the duration of processing. Generally, we can pay attention, and the older research said about 1 minute for every year of our life up to a maximum of 20 minutes. Well, what newer research is showing is that, that our attention span is shortening. And if you think about television and commercials and video games, we have difficulty paying attention for longer periods of time. So, as a facilitator, there's research also, and it's in Brain Rules. It's a great book that shows about 12 minutes that you need to be giving people a change and process and time to think about every 12 minutes or so. And that can simply be turn to the person next to you and repeat the three key concepts. That's processing. They're like brain breaks. Sometimes the brain break is to stand and stretch. Do not add any more information in. The physical stretching increases the blood flow and oxygen to the brain. Also allows the brain to process new information because you're not putting anything new in there. So 2 or 3 minutes of stretching, very valuable to processing. Next, punch. Punch. Punch is something that's novel, something that makes it memorable. Story, magic, graphics, music, all of those can give punch to a presentation. Something that's unexpected, interesting. Celebration at the end of learning. Add punch. How you close a meeting or a presentation can add punch. Our brain likes a balance between novelty, things that are unique, and predictability. Predictability gives us a sense of safety. We kind of know what's coming. That's a good thing. So when we balance those two, novelty and predictability, you put the brain in a better state for learning and retention. Because remember from earlier under Pleasant Tone, we talked about safety. stability, safety, for injury to learn. So we have 5 P's remaining. We'll add some punch to your presentation. And again, remember, with humor, you need to be very careful and make sure it's directed at yourself in order to keep the environment safe for all of your learners. Next, presentation skills. How do you present? How do you use your voice? How do you gesture? Are they large enough for the whole room to see, or are they very small? Do you move strategically, or do you sway back and forth nervously? Do you give clear direction, as I mentioned earlier? How do you utilize your logistics, your breaks? That's a presentation skill. Are you sensitive to your participants and your audience and their needs? Even if you're not scheduled to have a break, if the people in your audience are beginning to fidget, looking uncomfortable, they may need a health and safety break. So being able to read your participants' cues, their nonverbals, is a presentation skill. Do you ask effective questions? There is a skill to questioning. Greater participation, enhanced processing and reflection when you use strategic, effective, often open questions. So instead, do you have any questions? More effective question is, what questions do you have? Because what questions do you have implies you fully expect them to have questions. Do you have any questions? Well, there could be you expect them or you may not expect them. And that's a whole page of practice in most of the sessions around effective questioning. How long do you wait between asking a question and talking again if you don't get an answer? Most people have less than 2 seconds between any question and starting to talk again. And I learned that decades ago when I was first going into education as a classroom teacher. It amazed me. And then I started observing it, and it's very true. If we don't get an answer within those 2 seconds, we rephrase the question. We'll ask people, was that a clear question? It's important to give people time, again, to go inside, to process, to think. Some people, their learning style, or of course, their style is that they will think as they talk. They're called talk-to-think processors. They talk themselves through the thought process. So they'll start giving an answer, and the beginning of it will be the thought process of getting there. On the other side, you have people who think to talk. They will think through their answer completely before they're ready to share it with you. And they need that time. So that reflection time is very, very important, whether you give it in terms of, as I said, you could write it down to reflect. Sometimes there's a special page in a workbook packet designed for that in my materials. Would you include that as well? Absolutely. Allow people to process. Sing a song. When I had particularly a group of new employees, well, within about 3 months, and they were in a learning session with me, and I asked a question. And in my head, I sang the Star Spangled Banner. And silence can be very uncomfortable. Now, it seems like it's taking longer when it's you, and that's why you can sing Happy Birthday, Star Spangled Banner, whatever song you'd like in your head. that forces you to stay silent. Now, if they don't understand a question during that time, someone will usually say, could you rephrase the question? Or, I'm sorry, I was taking notes. Could you ask that again? I'd be glad to. And if I get through the, only once have I ever gotten through the entire Star Spangled Banner. And when I did, I said, I think you realize now that I'm very patient when I ask questions. So if there's something that's unclear or you would like clarified, please ask. So they're not, people aren't used to that. People are used to the short, fast, well, you know what, if I don't answer it, you'll answer it yourself. So be very careful about that. And how do you answer questions? That's another presentation skill. Because how you answer questions can either encourage discussion or discourage the discussion or shut it down completely. Do you honor the person answering the question, even if it's incorrect information? Because if you can find a connection, or if it's not quite right, you could ask a clarifying question. That's interesting. Can you tell me how you connected that? Because sometimes they see a very creative perspective or connection that you miss. And if it's an open question that has multiple answers, it's okay to say, could you give me three ways to... and add, there are multiple right answers, because that takes the pressure off of giving a, quote, wrong answer. Or what are some ideas about, and there are many correct ideas. And finally, under presentation skills on my list for right now is managing challenging participants, and that's a show all to itself. So in presentation skills, we had your voice, your gestures, how you stand and move. Do you do it strategically? Do you give clear directions? How do you manage logistics and breaks? Can you read your participants' cues? Ask effective questions. How do you answer questions? And managing challenging participants. We have about 2.5 minutes for our last four, so I'll make sure I at least introduce them. The next key is practice. Practice for yourself prior to facilitating the session, making the presentation, whether that's in front of the mirrors or video recording. Practice also refers to your participants during the meeting or the session. Give them an opportunity to practice with the information, with the skills. What does it sound like when you talk to a customer about this? Turn to a person next to you and practice communicating this information to them as if they were your customer. Let them practice while they're in the safety of the learning environment or in the meeting. Next is post-practice. Set up applications, transfer of new skills, determine how follow-up will occur. And this is a session that I'll be doing a week from Friday for our Chapter ASTD. Because if they just leave the room without any accountability, any support, any strategies to transfer and apply what they've learned, the odds are very low that that transfer will happen. So you can use technology, plan accountability, involve managers, etc. Post-practice is critical for application. Perspective is number 15. Reflect on your presentation skills. Assess what did and did not work. Get some feedback. What were the gems that went really well in this session, in this meeting? What were the opportunities to improve? Give yourself perspective of both of those. That's how you will continue to grow and improve. And finally, patience. Have patience with your participants during the session as they're learning, because they'll learn at different rates and in different ways. And have patience with yourself throughout this entire process as you learn and improve and use the 16 P's to power up your presentation. I hope that you have heard something here that will help you, to spark you to improve your presentations, your speeches, your seminars, your meeting facilitations. And if you have further questions, I invite you to connect with me at brainbonanza.com or at brainbonanza@gmail.com. And I will post the 16 P's to fire up your presentation in the preview section at brainbonanza.com.
I look forward to connecting with you again and invite you to come back. Next week, I will have a recorded session with Cynthia Rogers. We'll be doing a series about style and trust. So I invite you back. For those of you in the United States of America, have a very safe and festive Independence Day celebration. And for everyone, wherever you are, take action on something you heard today, on something you learned, to help you improve your communication, your facilitation, your presentation. Until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.